important fan. 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 This is important fan. I'm waving at you. Still waving at you.
Hi. 4 months ago, maybe five, I was at a dinner with friends in a garden. And somewhere in the evening, we were talking about careers or jobs or alternative jobs. And I was talking about this American poet, Michael Lally. And I was telling how this poet has a day job, like I guess most poets have. And his day job was to be a TV series actor for detective and crime series. Never really like a main role, more like a crook or an informer or the occasional background figure, which I thought was very sexy or very cool to be a poet, but then have a side hustle as a Hollywood TV actor. But then, the person who organized the dinner, he was looking at me and sort of shaking his head invisibly. And he said, "Michael, you have so much fantasies." And he let that sentence trail off. And you could almost imagine him thinking, "Why don't you just focus on your job or on your career?" And maybe he's right. Maybe I am, or maybe I'm a fantasy man, but one of the fantasies is to do a radio show with some sort of evening comfort and company of a voice and some music and do a bit of talking, which is what I want to try to this early evening. But I would never call it a fantasy exactly. I would call it considered like more like a hotel room shaped ambition. And I call this program Important Fan. I'm Michael Van Abela, and I will have some guests. One of them is Ryan Cullen, who will talk or maybe avoid talking about a future project of him. And then hopefully, if technically everything works out, I'll have somebody calling in with some love dilemma. And as if I'm not wrong, as I was mentioned in the program before, or in two programs before, I will play some Latin jazz, mambo, and calypso. But first, we're going to listen to the Alessi Brothers with "O Lori."
I'd like to stay in love with you all summer, and after fall, I'll keep you warm through the winter. Ooh, 'cause I've noticed one thing, this ain't no summer fling. I like to ride my bicycle with you on a handlebar. You laugh and run away.
Do I?
And I chase you through the meadow.
Do I? Do I?
Spring, the summer.
That was Tito Puente with Mambo Diablo. And before that, we were listening to the Alessi Brothers and sort of carbon to diamond compression of Sweetness with O Laurie from 1977. And sitting next to me is Ryan Cullen, who invited me recently to contribute to a magazine he's planning to make called Brumaire, and to which I'm glad to contribute if I'm able. And having asked me to contribute to it, I was wondering if you could elaborate on the spirit of Brumaire.
Spirit of Brumaire. As you said earlier, I will avoid talking about it because it's very vague still at this point. The idea is generally to have a kind of publication which has a certain violent acidity to the language that is used, but specifically to speak about the arts, because there's something that all artists know about our milieu, and there's not really a way to speak about it, because the only way to speak about it is the language of gossip blogs and, Manhattan art.
You don't like gossip?
I don't think it's very sophisticated.
Yeah. I have really a weird quote. I have a nice quote on gossip.
Did you know? This is unscripted. I didn't know I was going to say anything.
No, it's really unscripted. I didn't expect that you would say that you didn't like gossip, because I personally like.
Yeah, as a Flemish person, you obviously like gossip.
Thanks. But. But, yeah, maybe. I'll read it. It's from Jack the Modernist.
Okay.
And I use it actually on my dating app profile, but nobody ever reacts on it. And it says, it's a fragment from a book by Robert Gluck, Jack the Modernist. I was going to use this later on, but since you mentioned it, why not?
Fill a hole later then.
Yeah, exactly. It's an hour.
I'll read it twice.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Better. It's from on page 9. And it says, "What do you trust? Not who, but what? Jack, I trust gossip." Jack sat next to me. He looked worried, said, "Gossip is crude." I reasoned that the depth he missed in a single story could be found collectively in 100. He cocked his head, attentive. So I became interesting. "The people who know your story are as important as the plot. Gossip registers the difference between a story one person knows and everyone knows, between one person's story and everyone's. Or it's a mythology, gods and goddesses, a community and a future." Jack took my hand. That was exciting. I finally stopped smiling. Let desire bewilder and reorganize us. He asked, "What do you mean by community?" "Ecstatic sexuality." But you still don't like gossip.
I mean, I don't. I think it's interesting to think about gossip as something that would be forming a community, because I think that it seems like something that would be mostly harmful to a community, but
I think it's I don't know about that.
A cult.
If it's entirely harmful, I think it creates communities. But back to Brumaire, maybe the magazine. Why that title?
Well, I mean, there's the. It was the day when Napoleon came to power in a bloodless coup on the 18th of Brumaire, but mostly Brumaire is the month of October, and I thought that, like, The art journal October is quite a
right.
That's a nice point of reference, I think, for mm-hmm. trying to find something. I mean, for my taste, slightly too academic.
But yeah, you told me that. Yeah, you wanted that all the magazines about art are either too academic or fashion.
Yeah, except well, yeah, they're either pure fashion, Texture zu Kunst, Gossip Blog, Manhattan Art Review, and a few others, mm-hmm. or like academic Circle Jerk, which is October, and some others. But there was the German one also, Donnerstag, but I only ever read that through translations, and it famously ended. But yeah, I guess that's a bit the point, is to try to find something that touches all of those things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Without committing to anything.
Yeah.
Just like I am refusing to commit to giving you an answer for what it is.
Right, right. What should I write? I mean, what should I write, but did you invite me?
Well, I think you're a good writer. That's probably the reason.
It's not what I was aiming at, but yeah.
But you said you think about writing something about hotel rooms, which I think is maybe precisely the thing that is missing. Yeah. I think also
I believe in ambitions as hotel rooms. Yeah.
What was that?
Ambitions shaped as hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Or rather than capitalized on as real estate or homes. Yeah, but
you're gonna have to
elaborate that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I can already, but yeah. Because so far what I thought about what I told you, that I'm not really I'm not so good in
developing. I forgot the most important thing about Brumaire, actually, is the subtitle. Not the subtitle, but the whole thing is premised around aesthetics and terror. Yeah, that's kind of the subtext, which I invited you under.
Which one? Sorry?
Brumaire. That was the subtext, is I'm starting a journal on aesthetics and terror. Would you like to contribute something?
Yeah.
And I didn't mention that yet.
Yeah.
It's the most important part, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the ideas was about, what I would call, or I called, the rehabilitation of the negative.
Yeah, Stan Brockage was talking about that earlier, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if it's perfect for the magazine. It's a vague theory, and calling it, it's more about demoralizing the negative and the positive. And I think that we live in a sort of age of the imperative of the positive, which is a cover up morality to cover up productivity.
Morality cover up. I like that.
I don't know if we have still enough time. I have to check before new music starts, but
I think you want to talk about debt.
The
rehabilitation of the negative you brought up to me in relationship to debt, and I thought that was
like death.
No, debt, like owing a lot of money to somebody.
Oh, debt. I never know how to pronounce the word. Well, it caught me. Somebody explained me that, I ask you because you're American, and somebody explained me that that America is entirely based upon debt, or everybody's in debt.
Debt.
and it made me realize, of course, if everybody's in debt, and in negative, then to counterbalance that, the whole surface level must be to create an absolute belief in positivity, to morally keep that in balance. If you know that technically everything is, or practically everything is in debt, then how to balance that? But I think it's something theoretically that I think it originates from Europe. Like, I think there's a transition from antiquity, with where you have an eros thanatos duality, and then in Christianity that gets transformed into life and death, and then it gets transformed into good and evil, very much reduced, as a sort of, and there is a moralization of the negative value, which I think is also before was a sort of necessary dynamic in between, which you have in Taoism. I think it's much more neutral, but I think it's a lot to explain, and I think it's in the same time is very vague for a text maybe. I think you would need a scholar or a study.
No, that's precisely what we don't want, actually.
Okay, yeah. Or I have to formulate it properly into a sort of a poem, like a traditional poem.
Long form something. That's also the other... Yeah. I'm slowly revealing things about Brumaire, but the whole point of Brumaire is that all the texts...
I'm going to cut you here. Yeah. Sorry, because we're going to play some music. I'm sorry. We're going to have some... Music, Coleridge Taylor Perkinson with Sinfonietta number 2.
Cada cor brilhou, voltou o sonho então ao coração. Depois deste dia feliz, não sei se outro dia haverá. é nossa manhã, tão bela final manhã de carnaval. Canta o meu coração, a alegria voltou tão feliz amanhã desse amor.
That was Mana de Carnaval from the soundtrack of Orfeo Negro, a French-Brazilian movie from 1959. And it's basically the story of Orpheus and his attempt to retrieve his lovely dead wife Eurydice from the underworld, but then set in a contemporary carnival in Rio. It's really beautiful. And the bit that we listen to is pretty soothing and calm, but most of the soundtrack is like a sort of crazy, intense, trance ritualistic samba riot. And it's beautiful how well it merges the or carries the Greek antique drama of the Orpheus story. And before that was Coleridge Taylor Perkinson. Sitting next to me is Miss Featherbottom from the editorial board of Brumaire.
I'm not going to do the voice.
No voices. Okay. I was thinking, and yeah, maybe I need to read that book by Max Weber. Before I write about rehabilitation of the negative. What I was thinking maybe for Brumaire, and I don't know if it's so much about terror and aesthetic.
I think you know an awful lot.
Yeah, maybe. But one of the things maybe that I would develop on, or I would like to formulate, even though not very theoretical or academic, would be what I briefly mentioned once to you, like a weird idea that I have that you could, I think you can shape someone's political psyche.
Oh yeah, this is good.
Or political persona. as a Venn diagram, or like a Senate seat division or coalition of time orientation. Like you have to think of yourself and think how much of me lives in the past, the present, or the future. Like how much am I oriented, or how much percentage of me is oriented towards the past or the present or the future.
I thought that it was specific eras, like that it was a power sharing committee. I'm like part of me is 1950s American McCarthyism or something, and another part of me is it's more like past, present, future.
An interesting sub.
That's what I gave you.
Element, like how much are you retro?
How retro are you?
Yeah, but or no, futuristic, which are like sort of naive versions of the future and the past, but.
You're someone who believes in the future, which is shocking.
No, I don't believe. Well, it's not so much that, but I think like people who are very much oriented towards or very oriented towards the past are like fascists, are aristocrats. Anybody who brings up the past as an argumentation, nationalists bring up, yeah, but it's if you look at the past, it has been blah blah blah. Or people who argument that, oh, it has always been like that. That's a segment, that's an ideological orientation, this time fragment. And then I think that capitalists are very futurist oriented.
Yeah, this is.
Or also utopians also, they are ready to abstract the present in favor of the future and always like look ahead. Like maybe I'm talking about old school capitalists.
You're not going to get me to like go along with that. I think that is fundamentally incorrect. but no, because we've spoken about
it. I think it's about like very ultra ambitious people or ants,
but they're
and
like
termites like you could be a lion who lives in like majoritively in the present,
but termites
who hunts for like what, 3 hours and then sleeps 2 days to digest it.
Yeah, that's about living in the present.
And compared to that, you have termites who from the start are organized in with a sort of completely...
They're not thinking about the future. That's the same.
They're,
I think thinking I about the future, know. You have to have something that's there. And if you're...
But then what ideology is the future?
Historically, wasn't it communism? Wasn't that their whole thing? I think I told you that about Khrushchev. That
I think that real communists would be.
But they,
I don't know about it. That they would be present since the 60s, living in the present, be unproductive.
Since the 60s, they said it was not a campaign slogan, but some political slogan, which was communism in 15 years, because they determined that 15 years was far enough in the future that no one would say
that's almost the present. That's the near present. 15 years, if your ambition is 15 years as a society, that's the near present.
Yeah, near present versus...
That's a new concept, the near present.
Yeah, okay.
Like the opposite of people who are like retro, which is always like going...
It's the near 15 past. Years.
That's the near past. I think Dan Graham mentioned that everybody was concerned with the near past. Like what everybody was concerned or living with something that happened 15 years ago, like artists now do Izagenskin.
Yeah, but also
it's like the near.
But the youth also dresses like the youth when I was like not even a youth yet. When I was like really a kid, like these parachute Hot Topic pants, and they're not like they're wearing. But they're wearing new ones, and there are old ones that still exist because the old ones were produced before fast fashion, so they actually last longer than, what was the term? The near present?
Like near present. near the future.
Near future. No, near present.
No, near present, yeah. No. The just past, sorry, that's what Dan Graham talked about, the just past. And I think that's the segment of 15 years.
But what about the past that is just? What do we call that? That's really bad. I'm sorry.
That's yeah. That is actually.
I'm pretty happy with it though.
Yeah. But I think now it's also so jokey, but but I'm serious about the idea of the.
Yeah, I kind of interrupted you. You should.
Well,
the Venn diagram. Explain the Venn diagram concept.
Yeah, I kind of believe that people are built up with this orientation in time somehow, and I think it is about ideology somehow. But we're gonna listen to some more music. That's good, always.
Keep up the pace with the bass.
The dominant chord from the guitar.
Can you hear him? Can you hear me?
That was No Hay Problema by Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers from the soundtrack of Roger Vadim's movie Les Liaisons Dangereuses from 1960. And it's like a contemporary set version of the book by the same name from 1782. And before that, we were listening to Van Dyke Parks, but backed up with the Trinidad Steel Band, which opened the show. They're also called the Esso Trinidad Steel Band, which is a bit weird. For a while, they were sponsored by the oil company Esso. It's kind of, yeah, I mean, there are some things to figure out about that. But they're a great band. If technically all goes well, I should be able to talk with a guest who's calling over from outside of Brussels. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
A proper introduction.
Well, yeah, this is a person that introduced me and Ryan to the expression "shoot your shot, take the L."
Yeah. Which is really important. Take the loss, shoot your shot, take the L. It's right. Maybe.
Hey, can you hear you? Can you hear us? We hear you, I think.
I can hear you perfectly.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call about a mini love dilemma.
Yeah, what's the love dilemma?
My mini love dilemma is about a crush that I have. That's called, I call it my nervous crush. So it's a crush that I've been having for a year now on somebody who is living in a different city and isn't a part of the Brussels art world, but for whom I have an ongoing interest in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. My instinct is that his boundaries are rather strict, that him, he as an individual is rather constricted on some level. But I think the crush is somehow born from the idea that I think there's a mutual curiosity, even though we feel quite far apart, maybe in our interests.
Yeah.
But I think the possibility or the idea of breaching some kind of divide seems challenging. Like, we don't have this, a kind of mutual language for one another or something. So
right.
I called to kind of ask, how do you, as I would say, shoot your shot with someone you feel like is
well,
maybe nervous, but quite far away
answer.
From you or something?
The answer. But like, it's, you say it's a year already. It's like building up.
I think it's building up.
There's like a long anticipation to...
It's been a long anticipation, indeed. Yeah.
And you're like, are you thriving on each other's knowledge that you are like waiting for each
other? I'm not sure. I can't tell if it's thriving or it's more, it's an anticipation that's causing more of a curiosity.
Yeah. But you think, I was wondering, do you think it's generational or is it personal?
I think, I think maybe 5 years younger than me.
I mean, but so I don't know. Personal, for example, I'm a very shy person. So I was always waiting and staring. But then I would have to develop very weird strategies to overcome my shyness. And
I wonder if I should read his nervousness as a sign of disinterest, or rather as a sign of
I second that. Can you unpack that, Mikhail?
You second?
I agree. What? Can you say that one more time, Mikhaela? And then, oh, there's too many.
Should I read his nervous? Would you read someone's nervousness as a sign of kind of a lack of interest, or maybe more of like a curiosity or a?
I think nervousness is total interest.
You think disinterest?
No. The opposite.
You think it's interest? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
I mean,
so you think I should? You think I should just go for it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, shoot your shot.
All right.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, the reason why I asked about generational, because I think there's different approaches now.
Hmm.
Like with the
I mean, maybe I think now the easiest way would have been to just try and match with him on Tinder. This would somehow be easier, I think, than actually.
Try old school weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like figure out the address of the person, like his home address. No. I'm not thinking. I mean, serious. Like figure out the address and write a letter, like analog.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Idea,
which
I
is
think.
Also weird, but maybe it's weird.
No, I think that's maybe quite nice. Actually
good, or just an email.
I forgot.
I think it's better for it to go without a trace or something. Maybe that's the nice thing about the letter.
You don't have to write your name.
You just send an anonymous letter. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not in your sent inbox. It's like not traceable. Your interest kind of disappears or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Do you think he thinks that you're nervous?
Does he think I'm nervous? Probably a bit, to be honest. I'd say.
Do you think it's good that today we're still nervous?
Nervousness is the only thing that's keeping this society together.
Ask me. Exactly.
Mm. I think that it's the mutual. I think nervousness. I also think makes it a bit more like tense or you know what I mean, curious. I think that's why you think maybe it is something.
Yeah.
Versus like apathy or something, I don't know, maybe a.
Stan Brakhage today earlier was talking about this idea of desiring unrequited love. Do you think that's maybe what you're demonstrating for all these
kinda,
listeners here today?
Actually, I think a bit.
Slam dunk, Mikhaela.
Yeah, I think definitely.
But
is there a cure for desiring unrequited love, do you think?
You no just cure. Keep on keeping on.
Say again?
Keep on keeping on. You're on the right track.
Yeah, I'm on the right track. Keep going. Keep desiring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what happens when your desire becomes for unrequited loves is requited?
Mikhaela?
Then you...
Hello? We're going to... Yeah. No, we're still here, but we're going to listen to some music and get back to you in like a couple of minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah?
Cornea's mystic. Color high. Psst. Psst, psst, psst. for seconds at a time. A hand that's cold in another cold. And everything within reach. This is a waltz for a dodo, a samba for Bambi, gavotte for the Kaiser, bolero for boys, a reel for Red Rosa, a polka for Tantan. Cornea's misted, color high. Seconds at a time. Psst, psst, psst. Psst, psst. One hand that is cold in another cold. Psst, 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 psst. And everything within.
Widening circles of remorse, ever widening circles of remorse. Down the river, start throwing in the rocks.
Ever widening circles of remorse,
ever widening circles of remorse, ever widening circles of remorse, afloat at the mercy of the waves.
A woman is often judged by her possessions.
Whoa, I find I have water in my eyes.
Damn, damn the river. Stop throwing in the rocks.
Down the river. Start throwing in the rocks.
Ever winding circles of remorse.
Ever widening circles of remorse. Ever widening circles of remorse. Afloat at the mercy of the waves.
We are ships at sea, not thus all upon.
They're sweeping out the bars.
The shards of glass no longer cut the flesh upon our feet.
Damn the river. Start throwing in the rock,
ever winding,
afloat at the mercy of the waves. I find I have water in my eyes.
I find I have water in my eyes. I find I have water in my eyes. I find I have water in my eyes. 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 In my eyes.
That was Ned Sublette, Lawrence Wiener, and the Persuasions from the album Ships at Sea, Sailors and Shoes. Before that, we were listening to Scott Walker with A Lover Loves. And I hope our caller is still with us. I guess another fantasy of mine was to be like able to give love advice, but I've find that maybe I'm not so good at giving any advice at all in public, maybe. But the only thing that I was thinking in nervous situations like that, if any advice, I guess is to figure out to who has it's a bad word when you say to who has the higher ground, but to be realistic about who has better cards. I guess it's like a game where you know, like you cannot see each other's cards, but you still have to figure out that you have better cards. And if you have better cards, you have to make the first move or something like that.
I think that's too gamey.
Ryan says it's too gamey.
Too gamey.
Love's not a game.
Is love a game? Maybe a
little.
Says
not. He says not.
Desire.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I have better cards.
Desire is a game you can play.
I think you have. It feels like you have.
I think I have better.
I think
cards.
You're totally on top of the situation.
Yeah, I think it's a bit on me.
Yeah.
Yourself. That's
I somehow feel like it's on me to make this. I have to shoot my own shot. I have to try. Exactly. I think that's the takeaway. Because I have to just go for it.
I think it was kind of a mistake for me to make Mikhail give the introduction, which is the constant and only punchline to all love dilemmas, which is advice you once gave to me, which is shoot your shot and take the loss.
Take the loss, yeah. I mean, and it's like the loss is kind of like a nothing. It could be like a W.
Does it?
That's the thing. It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
No, I think it's a good way to... Yeah, I think it's good advice. I like it.
I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Right. You're in tournée right
we're
now.
We're in tournée.
Yeah, we're
old
at this time,
city villa.
Yeah. There's an art fair going on there.
Yeah,
right?
There's a mini.
Yeah. So anybody who is in Belgium in around and has nothing to do and can still listen mobile to Montes Press, they can go to Tournai, I guess. It opened.
Yeah. Come, we have there's
How's
a bit of beer,
atmosphere?
A bit of wine. We're here tonight, we're here tomorrow, and we're here Sunday.
Okay.
So come.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you're interested,
right,
and you have a nervous crush, come.
Yeah, you should definitely come to Tournai. What's the title of the exhibition?
Also get them to come to Etablissement if there are people.
Yeah, if people are into
also come to Etablissement, of course.
Exactly.
Of course.
Right. If anybody in Tournai, if anybody is in Tournai and they're bored of that situation there, they can come over here. It's live, and there's
come back to you. Yeah.
I mean, there's now 20 people here. They're
okay.
All great. We have a nice audience, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
wow,
but no,
there.
I don't want
20
wanna,
people in the room. There are really 20 people in the room.
Yeah,
I'm
look.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess you all. I'm sure you also have funny people over there in Tournai.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so. I think
yeah.
so. But we'll redirect everybody else back to Etablissement for sure.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. I don't. Yeah, we have a little bit more time. Not so much. Absolutely. Not enough for a substantial bit, but I'm figuring out to...
Enough to read that poem.
No, I think the poem is long. It has three sections.
You're,
I wanted to read a poem by Elena Key, and I was reading a book in the summer in Milan. Maybe I had a great introduction, but I will skip the introduction and go straight to the poem. It's called Games of Medieval Sadness, and it's in three chapters. One, she visits a zoo where clocks are caged, and one hears the occasional oceanic roar of time. But more often it's the tickle of quietly ticking breath, stupefied. The alarmist cuckoo and towering giraffe stare, unable to leave their century. A moment reduced so small, they but vaguely remember the wilds of infinity. Life passes in what feels like a second, since each second can only be one lifetime long. You see, I can only read one part of the poem. We're going to hit in, especially for you and for everybody, with divine and great advice from divine. It's called Shoot Your Shot. Oh, no, it's not playing. What? Oh, no, no, it's... sorry, yeah, I'm a bit late. This is very technical. It's going to come every second. It's going to...
Meantime, you can
any second. Well,
no, not anymore.
Goodbye.
An android sitting alone at the counter with an empty glass. When the android sees the guy, it walks up to him and says, "Welcome and how do you do? Buy me a drink and I'll be just like you." When the android sees the guy, it walks up to him and says, "Welcome and how do you do? Buy me a drink and I'll be just like you." You get it? Ha 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 ha